Eddie Spaghetti. All right, this tour with the Reverend Horton Heat's a bit of a milestone. It's been nearly 10 years since you guys have toured together. Considering that many would say this is a perfect tour match, why did it take so long to get out with them again?
You know, the typical shit. Money. You know, they go out and they try to make their nut, and we go out and we try to make our nut. And, you know, we kind of play to a lot of the same people, so we weren't sure how well it would do, and it's awesome. It's been great. Finally, you know, everybody worked out everything they needed to get to go on tour, and, you know, put food on the table, and here we are.
Now, this tour is different in the aspect. You're only guys, you're only doing a three-piece version of the Super Suckers?
Yeah.
And what's the reasoning?
Because my phone's ringing. Well, Dan Thunderbolt has wisely and bravely chosen to take a breather from the rigors of the road, and you know, he'll be back better and stronger than ever in about a couple weeks, actually. When we get back to California, he'll be back in action.
Cool. Nice. So he'll be back out on tour with you guys in the fall when you go to Europe and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Unless he turns into a Mooney or something.
God forbid.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Now, you guys have toured with bands like Motorhead, Social Distortion, The Ramones, and many more. Who are your favorite bands to tour with?
It's a good question. It surprises you sometimes. Bands that you never heard of are really fun. And we just finished a leg of this tour with Trainwreck, which is really great. Throw Rag is really great to tour with. Zeke is a blast. You know, and Motorhead was really fun in a sort of a more reverential kind of way, like, you know, just not like they hung out with us every single night or anything,
right.
But they hung out a bit. We got to party down with Lemmy a little bit. It's hard to keep up with that dude, but
he looks damn good for 60, man.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, he's an anomaly for sure. It's not, you know, people use him as a template for their lives, and they're going to fail because he's made out of something else entirely.
Right. Now, a lot of bands complain about being on the road and away from their families, but you and Ron often bring your families out on the road. What are the pros and cons of that?
There's really no cons other than maybe it costs a little bit more to have, you know, more people out with you. But as far as, other than, you know, throwing a little money at the situation, for me, there's nothing bad about it. You're with your family, you're with your kid. Your kid gets to come and see what you do and appreciate, you know, when you're gone, what you're out there doing. And it just makes a better person out of everybody, you know. It's eliminated from our lives all the crappy, scummy shit we used to do when we were kids, you know, and distilled it down to the essence of what makes it good and what makes it fun, which is, you know, kicking ass. And, you know, you're not anti-party, party, party, but there's a line to walk. And, you know, if you're just out here to get all fucked up and screw around, then you're Murphy's Law. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And where are those guys?
And bands are great to do that, but that's not my motivation, you know. My motivation is to come out and kick ass and be the greatest rock and roll band in the world. And if I get to have a few beers while I do it, that's cool too.
Right. How's your boy like being out on the road, man? He gets to see a lot of cool stuff.
He loves it. He's a total little rock and roller, you know. But he's going to have to start school pretty soon. And,
right.
You know, his days are numbered, I guess. On the road in the wintertime. He drew this picture, and I got a tattoo of it recently.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Can we maybe take a picture of that afterwards?
Yeah, that's no problem.
On your solo album there, The Soft, he sang the final closing song. How do you like that?
Yeah, he likes that a lot. Now he sings along with it all the time. And I just finished a new one, a new solo record, and he's got a whole badass track at the end of it.
That's so awesome, man. How are things going with Midfire, your record label?
Good. You know, it's very self-serving, and, you know, we're the boss, and we finally eliminated all bosses from everything we do. Like, people talk about indie rock or an indie band. They don't get any more indie than the Super Suckers. We are a fully independent operation all the way.
Cool. So tell me about the new record, Devil's Food.
It's a cool record. It's a compilation of things that we've been doing for the last couple of years, singles and B-sides and you know, compilation songs that we've thrown out there. And I was still kind of guilty making people find 10 different things
that makes it fun though, man.
It is fun for a lot of people. I mean, collecting is fun for sure. But for me, I want the tunes.
Right.
You know, if Motorhead, you know, I guess they're not the kind of band that does a lot of one-offs, but I would totally eat up a one-off thing from them, you know, because I just want the songs. I don't want to have to search all over and pay, you know, what will wind up being like $200 to get all these things, and I can just get it on one $10 CD.
Now, did I hear correctly there's going to be a glow-in-the-dark vinyl version of it?
It's here tonight, my friend. Yeah.
Man, I gotta walk out here with one of those. That's going to be awesome. So when can people expect off of new material from the Super Suckers?
I'm hoping, like, in the beginning of winter, end of fall, something like that. We're doing everything ourselves. This is the hurdle. You run into obstacles, financial and otherwise, and you try to get things done when you can. But I think that we'll have it knocked out by the end of the year, for sure.
Now, aside from touring and working on the new Super Suckers album, you're working on a new solo album. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's done. It's in the can. It's called Old Number 2. And it's a lot like the first one I did, only I wrote made up more of the songs on it.
Not so many covers on it.
Not as many. Still a lot of covers. And it's just, that's kind of my goofy little thing I get to do on the side when I'm kicking around, like my buddy Dave, who just came in here and does our house sound. He works at a studio in Seattle, and he's like, if there's a couple of days, you want to take them and dust out another one? I'm like, yeah.
And I like when you do that, because like Mike Ness did kind of the same thing, you know, we done to the influences, and you get to hear a lot of stuff, but, you know, it was influenced you, songs that made you who you are, and you're doing your version. I like kind of stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
That's exactly the idea, to show the sort of the process and the goofy things that I would sing backstage, and then also to throw some songs on there that I'm sure the Super Suckers could totally rock them, but songs I, you know, made up by myself, wanted to kind of show that side. It's not like an endeavor to become this artiste or separate myself, because I think anything I do or anything anybody does in this band really just becomes a fabric of what the Super Suckers are.
Now, I'm putting together a collection of stories about the Ramones, and I'm wondering if you have a story you'd like to share. Some kind of like personal experience you have with them?
Yeah, we were lucky enough to get to tour with them for a little bit, and we were about to go on stage one time, and I couldn't find a pick. Like, I need a pick, and Johnny's standing there, and he's like, here, man, use one of these picks, you know, one of those cool white Ramones on it. And I'm like, all right, thanks, Johnny, and I'd like to keep this pick, but I can't use it. I'll totally break it. He's like, you can't break that pick, man. Those picks are indestructible. I never broke one of those picks before. And I'm like, I'm serious. I could tell it was the kind of pick that I was going to break. And he's like, nah, you won't break that pick. You use it. So I took it out there. I'm like, I'm going to take it out there with me, but I'm going to need a spare. So I took it out there, second or third song. I broke it. I put it in my pocket. And I brought it after the show, and I showed it. I was like, look, I broke it. He looks at it. He's like, holds it. And he's like, man, you're a fucking animal. He handed it back to me. I was like, oh. Johnny Ramone called me an animal.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So, it's about to be out. You're one of the few bass players I see playing out that plays with a pick. Most guys I see playing with their fingers.
Yeah, they're all gay.
You heard it. Now, you've devoted a number of years to bring the saga of the West Memphis 3 to the public eye. Do you feel your efforts are making an impact, and what new developments are there in the case?
Well, we've made an impact in that we've definitely, you know, gotten a lot of people, a lot of our fans aware of it, and a lot of these people will now put on benefit concerts and stuff to raise some money for the defense fund, and that's nice. There's been a few new developments. I'm not sure what I'm allowed to know.
Right.
Like, I know some things. I'm not sure I should have gotten the information, but basically things are looking a little bit better. And we're hopeful that something, you know, happens. But those wheels of justice, man, they barely turn. And it's real slow.
There's even a thing on MySpace now for the West Memphis 3. Get people to join it so they can, through MySpace, do it too. So raising awareness with it.
Cool.
And I got it up on there, and I'm all linked up to it and stuff like that too. Very cool situation. They're trying to do so much with that.
Yeah, it's really hard because, you know, it is something that's a leap of faith to a degree that you would, you know, I'm convinced that these guys are innocent, but,
right.
You know, not everybody is, and that's okay. They're entitled to that opinion, and, you know, a lot of people just tend to think the justice system does its job, and you know, oftentimes it does, but a lot of times it doesn't and needs to be evaluated.
And what does the future hold for the Super Suckers?
It holds our nuts in a sling. Really, that's what it holds. But, you know, we're just going to keep doing what we do. We're happy. We've never been happier doing what we're doing. We've never been better at it. And even though we've been doing it for a long time, we still are excited by it and feel fresh. And we feel like we're just getting the hang of it all the time. So we just keep learning. It's a cheesy cliche that the journey is the destination, but that truly is the case for us. That we're not looking to do anything but what we're doing. We're making a living playing rock and roll.
And you guys kick ass at it. Any final words or anything else you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Well, you know, people should remember to wear their clean underwear when they come to the shows, because we do tend to rock their pants off. And if you've been in an accident recently or had some dental work done and you've got some extra painkillers, make sure you leave them at the merch booth for us. We have a lot of pain.
Thank you.